You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. Excuse me, we just been listening to Alex Dormont and Hot Texas Swing Band.
Yes, with their single, Hot Texas, or from their album, Hot Texas. And we're delighted to have you with us tonight for episode 122. So excited. Jim's having another little drink. It's very dry here today in New Mexico.
No rain.
No rain here, or snow. Jim, who's joining us tonight?
Kathy Brown Ramsperger.
And here she is.
And Gloria Mattioni.
And Gloria. And here she is. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
We're so happy you're joining us. Very quickly, Kathy, where are you joining us from tonight?
I am joining you from the suburbs of D.C., where it is very windy. The snow is gone, but the wind has replaced it.
Yeah, and we've got wind coming in tonight. And Gloria, where are you?
In this moment, I'm in Los Angeles at a friend's house because I just moved from my house. And we are under a crazy rain since yesterday that replaced the fires, as you guys know.
Yes, as long as it doesn't cause mudslides, we love to have LA get some rain. We know sometimes one kind of causes the other. So we're hoping that you all get through this newest challenge.
Yeah,
before Jim introduces Kathy officially, I would love you to talk about, and I'm going to hold them both up together. These are the books of our guests joining us tonight. California Sister. Nope, I'm putting down that. Not Vanna White. Sorry about that. California Sister by Gloria Mattioni. And a fabulous book. And look at this beautiful color cover. Of course, we have bookmarks in it because we're readers. And then we have A Thousand Flying Things, another gorgeous cover of Kathy Ramsperger. Kathy, why don't you take a moment and tell us about this cover?
Well, I named it A Thousand Flying Things because the things symbolize the choices the protagonists have in life. And it's the Sudanese, where it starts, have a saying, a bird in the hand is better than a thousand things. It's very like our saying. And so I worked with a wonderful designer, I said, I want flying things on the cover. I wanted the heron. She chose that cool color, but I wanted the heron. And she was the one that put the plane in. And I just think that makes it. And the little boy is a little boy named Khalil, which is one thing that Diana has to concern herself over in the plot. And I didn't know whether to put him on the cover or not. And I have a wonderful friend called Marita Golden. And she said, no, you need to put him on there. So thank you, Marita, if you ever hear this.
Very good.
And Gloria, oh my goodness, another beautiful color cover. And this is for the book California Sister. Can you take a moment and tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, same thing like with Kathy. I work with an artist, Maria Lore, that I chose, and I did my own work with her. And of course, it's a sister story. And the title is California Sister, which is actually the name of a butterfly, real butterfly, very common in all the Western states. And so I wanted the butterfly to be also present. So it is on Ondina's hair. And I wanted the sisters to look at each other. And in the beginning, they were like just looking at each other, but it seems almost confrontational. So I had this idea of having the foreheads touching. And after that, I was like, that's it. She did a wonderful job. She has this very almost naive trait. And I wanted something like that because his story, as you know, is also a tough story. You know? So I wanted something to lighten up because it's
Yes, and it's just both of these books are such engaging reads, and also both of you as the authors and crafters of these stories are poets. Your language just flows like lyrical poetry, and the way that you describe landscapes, emotions, people, scents, food, you know, everything that is surrounds these characters, you just bring it to life where we, the reader, absolutely feel that we have moved from our dining room or living room or bedroom or wherever we are, and we are right there with you and your characters. And I think your covers really portray that. The book is as beautiful as your covers.
Exactly. When I was reading Katie's book, I never been to Sudan. I never been to this place. That's the part of the world that I'm missing. But I was like, oh my God, she made me travel to these places. And I loved it because I could smell it. I could feel it, even the touch, even not the nice part, but when she's sweating and everything is hot and all of the protagonist, it was fantastic. In fact, I was like, wow, she really has this grace.
And Gloria, I've been to LA and I've been to Milan. And I felt like I was back there. You put me back there.
That's good.
Well, and we have not been to Milan, but we certainly have been to Los Angeles. And some of the places that you describe. And I felt like I was seeing them with fresh eyes and that I was revisiting almost like I hadn't been there. So to readers that haven't been to these places, know that you will feel like I have been there. I know what that's about.
Great compliment.
It's just wonderful. Jim, do you want to say a little something about Kathy? And then Kathy's going to actually officially introduce Gloria.
Okay. We have a little something about Kathy. Kathy Ramsberger is the award-winning author of two novels, which are The Shores of Our Souls and A Thousand Fine Things. She has also published hundreds of short stories, essays, and articles. All her writing combines her southern voice with stories she witnessed and courageous people she met as a national magazine researcher and writer and as an international humanitarian journalist. She also hosts the podcast Humanity's Greater Story. Welcome, Kathy.
Welcome, Kathy. And Kathy was with us last fall, and we had such a great time. We said, Kathy, would you come on back, and would you bring a friend? And she said,
She did.
So we're turning it over to you, Kathy.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. Mm-hmm. So now I get to do it for Gloria. It's my pleasure to introduce my good friend and award-winning magazine journalist and author, Gloria Mattiani, Vogue People, and so many books. Not only did her most recent novel, California Sister, win many, many accolades, Gloria has published Reckless, The Outrageous Lives of Nine Kick-Ass Women, and Dakota Warrior, as well as a novel in Italian and translated, tell me if I'm wrong, Gloria, it's With Other Eyes. Now, that's something I want to read. She's also published three nonfiction books. She's prolific. As soon as California Sister was done, she started writing a mystery, and we'll hear about that later. Growing up, Gloria dreamed of being a pirate, and Jim might have a question coming about that, an astronaut and an explorer. But she's a born storyteller. She went into the right career. She's done her share of exploring too, though. In fact, she's moving right now, she's told you. And it's her 23rd move. And just like me, luckily, she loves change and risk. She was born in Milan, Italy, but she moved to Los Angeles in 1992. And she's been an investigative reporter, human rights activist, animal rescuer, and editor. That sounds a little like me too. She loves hiking the mountains, swimming and surfing in the ocean, but she loves getting lost on city streets, just any city. You can learn a lot about a city just getting lost. And though she travels a lot and she has a lot of adventure, she and her husband and rescue dog can still call the LA area home. And I'm glad to be your friend. Happy Valentine's Day.
That was lovely.
So we'd love to know how you two met.
Pulpwood Queens. We both were featured authors, and I think we were both international book. I know yours was, Gloria. We met in Florida. We hadn't known each other before, and we just really saw the synchronicities in our lives and the similarities in our books. So we've been friends ever since.
Yeah. We thought talking about home, both books have a lot to do with home. And Kathy, we thought you might like to sort of start that conversation off a little bit.
Yeah, I would love to. I considering Gloria's lived a lot of places and so have I. And she's crossed an ocean to do that. It's a little different. I have relatives in California and Arizona, and that's far away, but it doesn't seem as far if there's not an ocean. And Gloria, I'd love for you to tell us what home means to you. Is it a place or a person or a feeling, something else?
Yeah, I think I move, as you said, I moved to Los Angeles in 1992 exactly because I was looking for change. Up to that time, I travel a lot, so I knew Los Angeles already. I traveled to America for work quite a bit because I was a journalist and I could have a press visa to move anywhere, basically, at that time. But I didn't have the idea that America would become my home. No, I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to go and maybe I'll stay a couple of years there and then maybe I'll move to Paris, I'll stay another couple of years there. And I never imagined that Los Angeles grew on me the way it grew on me. But at the same time, it grew on me because it's a place where basically everybody's displaced. Everybody comes from somewhere else. So you feel home, even if you are not born here, if you are not being raised here, you know, we're not raised here. So I felt perfectly home, right? But at the same time, it was because my concept of home is basically a place where to put my suitcases, right? It's a base, but then I want to travel the world. I still do. And even if, yes, I like to have a normal life and all of that, I still long for adventure and exploring and going somewhere else. So,
You know, home, is that a place or is that a state of mind or both?
Probably a state of mind. I'm terrible. Even when I go to a hotel and they stay like 2 nights, I have to undo my suitcase and put everything away. like this is home, right? And I love it. I mean, every hotel room can be my home, you know. It's like my motto in life has been room service for a long while.
You know, who else I think said that, at least in a movie? Wyatt Earp, Josie Earp said that. I just like to have room service.
Room service.
In the movie, anyway. I'm not sure she actually ever said that.
Well, I would say it if I could.
I mean, you know, because you feel homey when you're there, you know, and they're like, okay, a little word for now, and maybe tomorrow it'll change, but now I want to feel home. You know,
so. Kathy, what about you? How would you answer that question?
So I would say it's a place and a state of mind. I have lived a lot of places, but I loved some more than others. I always end up back in this DC house. I don't know why exactly. We have a love-hate relationship, but I think it's probably because my heart must be here. And we're just a big city full of strangers. So if you don't like your neighbor, they're just going to move in 4 years. Mm. So that's cool. If I could live any place in the world now, because I was very glad to come back home and let my parents know my kids before they passed, it would be back in France. I'd live in Switzerland if I could, but there's a visa problem there. And it would be in a place like Lyon or Annecy, near between Geneva and Provence. And Annecy is almost like a little village, but it's a beautiful place. And I think my heart is probably in France.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, Gloria, in California Sister, we meet the two sisters, Claire and Odina. And they both had from Italy. They both, you know, grew up in Italy. But Claire just got to go. And even Odina does some travel, because we learned that she was in India. You know, she's had some experiences too. But Claire just can't stay in one place for very long.
Yeah, Claire is definitely a nomad. Yes.
Yeah.
I still think Gloria's like Claire, you know.
She's still in LA.
I live in LA, but it's true that I have this kind of bug. You know, I start to feel the itch at some point.
Feel the itch. Yes.
I do too, to travel.
Right.
But then I like coming and sitting on my sofa eventually.
Yeah. Yes. I like coming back, but I also like, in fact, I mean, if I could in this moment, if you didn't have any restraint, I would definitely move to Paris for a while. You know?
I'll go with you.
Okay. So will he. It's on his bucket list. He would love to go to Paris and do nothing but sit at a table. Right. And just watch, you know, I want to go to the museums and here and there. And he's like, no, I just want to sit at a table and watch the world go by.
The stories.
A lot of stories.
And Italy, too.
You know, so it's I love to do both. I mean, when I travel to Paris, I do all of that. Of course, I go to museum. I go to visit the beautiful gardens. But I do go to a cafe and I sit there. Watch, and then I imagine the stories of these people, and it's so much fun.
To get back to Claire for just a moment, because we've just talked about her free spirit, sort of freedom, likes to wait, you know, ride the freedom waves. But there's a calamity that happens, and she, in a heartbeat, I mean, she's just ready to drop and go. And she doesn't even question. And I thought it was so interesting that you have Claire as a writer. She's a award-winning, best-selling author. She's getting ready for a book launch. She's getting ready. You know, she's got it all lined up, ready to go. And she learns about her dear sister and the situation she's in. And I'm just amazed that she just didn't think twice.
Yeah.
She was on that plane. Yeah.
It's not even rational, you know, it's just a decision from her guts, you know, like she needs me. And in this moment, and that she knows that she's the only person who can do for her, you know, what is necessary, because she knows her sister so well, and she knows that, you know, her sister in a situation. She doesn't even know when she leaves. She'll see her sister alive, or she'll arrive that she's not alive. But she has to go. She has thinks that her sister, in some way, even if she's in a coma, will feel that she's going.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're right, these sisters, are the they have a special bond. It's kind of like twins, you know. The other one can almost tell what the other one's thinking.
True.
And if something happens a long way off, the other one somehow seems to know about it. It's always, I think it's kind of amazing.
I mean, I don't know if it's true for everybody, but like you said, I mean, I had two great friends, you know, that were these twin sisters who were athlete, world champions, you know, in every kind of extreme games and all of that. And I put them in my book, you know, Reckless, the Outrageous Lives of 9 Kick-Ass Women, because they were definitely kick-ass women. And they were telling me about their bond, you know, and how one feels what she thinks, even if she's far away and all of that. I do think that some sisters have the same kind of relationship. Definitely Claire and Undina has the kind of relationship. So because of that, Claire drops everything. There is no question, no career, no man, no nothing. You know? Not her house that she loves, not talking about home. But
I remember thinking to myself, just sort of closing, keeping my finger in the book where I was and just closing the book and just thinking for a moment, would Undina have done the same thing if it had been reversed? And I think she would have. That's just me, reader, thinks that she would have. They made a pledge to each other as very young people, young women, that they would react this kind of way. And I also thought that perhaps if we could interview them and ask about home, they would just say wherever Claire is or wherever Undina is, that's my home. But that's just me, the reader.
Yeah, it's strange because actually they've been living separate for a long, long while, you know, but at the same time, it's not separation.
Yes, yes.
They keep talking and, you know, being in contact continuously and, yeah.
Yes, we are, I always have to keep my eye on that clock, unfortunately. So we're going to step away for a moment and we're going to hear a word about two of our sponsors that make Rendezvous with a Writer absolutely possible. And I know Kathy Ramsberger knows this too. First off, if you are a writer, you need to find out what our friends Krista Sukup of Blue Cottage Agency and Janelle Madison of Clicks by Madison can do for you. And ladies, if you're listening, we love having you along for the ride. We'll be right back. Rendezvous with a Writer is sponsored by Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, your author publicity and book marketing team. Experienced, trusted, effective. Contact them today at bluecottageagency.com.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking to Kathy Ramsberger and Gloria Mantegna. And these two fine books right in front.
That you need to get right away.
You know, we're going to turn this back to Kathy. And Kathy, you maybe want to pick up on, I know we have some things like Parkinson's and other little things like that.
Disasters, diseases.
Picking up on, well, love is what it is, right? We love our moms. And no matter what our relationship is, and I think Diana's relationship with her mother is fraught, but it's partly because her mother has Parkinson's and Parkinsonian Lewy body dementia. Our books include real subjects about love, because as much as we'd really love to have a perfect relationship with everybody we meet, it doesn't always happen. And they teach us our caretakers. So Gloria and I both had moms with Parkinson's, another synchronicity between us. And I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about what that means, being a caregiver for a family member across an ocean or across a continent, or getting the call in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. I got such a call. Your mom is dead. We're in a pandemic, not the pandemic, but it was another flu epidemic. We've got to get her out of here in the next hour. Well, I was 9 hours away. So let's talk a little bit about what it was like for you with your own mom and your own sister, Gloria, and also how that translates into your novel.
Yeah, and you were right. I mean, no matter what, because that's the real part that is in my novel, no? Because it's inspired by real life. And I did have a profound connection with my mom, but definitely not an easy relationship, no? So that's why, in fact, I said that, well, my book also talks about dysfunctional families, no? Because in many ways. And I try to depict the mom's character in the novel, very much modeling it on my own mom. No, because my mom was definitely reacting in that way to many things. And Parkinson, unfortunately, affected a lot of her abilities. So before, she was a very brave woman. You know, she was definitely a role model for both me and my sister. And she was more adventurous, and then instead she became afraid of everything because of her frailty, you know, and fragility. And she also became, in many ways, egotistical, right? Instead of being generous like she was before. So the relationship became even more difficult, but at the same time, it's like, it's the same like when Claire goes to Italy on the spot, dropping everything. It's like, it's your mom. And so even if you know, maybe clash so badly normally, when your mom needs you, then it becomes, okay, I have to be there for her. So I think it was the same for you and for Diana in the book, no? And then, you know, you have to make decisions for them, right? Because when people become unable to make decisions for themselves, it's up to you. And that's a terrible role, terrible, you know, to be the caregiver, the caretakers, and the advocates for people.
You feel alone.
For themselves, yeah. And so in your book, Katie, in fact, when Diana makes the decision about her mom's surgery, yeah, I mean, I remember when I read it the first time, I reread it recently because I wanted, and I remember the feeling that I was like, oh, she knows what I've been through, you know, and it's sometimes it's difficult.
You try to do what they would want if they have dementia, obviously. If they don't, you ask them. So did writing about it heal you in a way?
Oh, definitely. I mean, not completely, because I don't think you heal for similar experience completely ever. And I mean, the thing that time heal is kind of, you know, a little messed up, because it heals a part, but not completely, right? There is always a kind of almost post-traumatic
layers.
Layers. But for me, it was definitely the best healing I could have, much better than therapy. So only when I wrote the book and I decided, okay, I'm just going to bleed it. I'm not going to try to make it pretty. I'm not going to try to.
I know, I did the same.
I release all the emotions, because before I couldn't even talk about my sister because I was breaking down every time, you know, and I struggled. I couldn't. You know, it was like interrupting with tears and all of that. Only when I finished the book, then I felt like, you know, a weight lifted from my shoulders, you know. So
I felt like they were sort of there cheering me on. Did you feel like that in a way?
Completely, even because the thing is, I had to give a voice to Ondina. And of course, Ondina couldn't speak for herself. So I felt like it was my sister physically speaking into my ears. Yeah. The finally, this voice.
You know, for many of our readers, I think this is an education for things to come for them. And for folks that have already gone through this, maybe a little closure for them also. Because these are difficult times. And as you read these books, you know, you can relate to them very quickly. You know, I almost put the book down the other day because Bobby's mom she's okay today and not so okay today. We're back and forth between the care facilities and the hospital. Then my sister calls me up and she says, I can't breathe and I can't walk and I'm going to the ER. And then somebody else calls and says, hey, we have a dear friend that can't walk anymore. They're in assisted living right now. So I'm thinking, this is too much. Like, too much for me right now.
In the last five days, while we're reading. It was like, well, I think this was kind of, I don't want to say therapy for it, but it was very helpful.
It's the best thing that can happen. In fact, for me, the best review that I had for California Sister was a young reader that actually she's in her 30s and she lost her mom 5 years ago, and she said that she has been completely unable to deal with the pain, you know, to cope with the whole process. And then she said that she was very brief, and she said, this book is better than therapy. Thank you so much. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, thank you for that. Not because I meant it, but to hear that somebody could actually benefit from that is the best word that you can have, you know, when you write.
That's why I write, isn't it? Why you write is to get that connection and to heal somebody else.
Completely, because I feel like if you have some experience that are also tough and you go through and you can communicate and somebody and you can help somebody that way. And for me, fiction in some way is the best way to do it, you know, because you get a little distance from that, and so you can be more objective. In some way, it's a ridiculous word for fiction, but meaning it's not only your experience, you are basically channeling the experience of many people.
Like universal truth.
Right.
Universal truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think as readers, you know, we trust the author. I pick up a book and I'm like, I'm with you. And I trust you. You're going to take me into all kinds of places, and I'm going to trust we're going to get through that journey together. And along the way, I may learn a lot of things, or I may be entertained, or I may just laugh outrageously, or I may weep, or, you know, but that's the readers. That's why we read.
Yeah, definitely.
And I also found with both of your books, because we were revisiting Kathy's book and now Gloria's book, that these books are also like all great books. They will talk to you differently when you pick it up a second time. Because there will be something you missed that first time through.
You get a point.
And so all of a sudden, a paragraph will jump out because now in your life, that paragraph's really relevant. Yes. Where the first time through, it was interesting, it was engaging, it was, you know, but now it's like, oh.
Very true.
That's exactly what I needed right now. And I think both your books do that beautifully. Cool.
I can totally relate to that. I reread books that I loved and I have the same experience. I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. You know, I didn't catch it the first time. I was completely focused on another thing, you know. So it's good. Rereading books is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think books find us when we're ready for them. And then
interesting.
When we reread them, they find us for a different reason. Like that.
Yeah.
If they're still on our shelf, there's a reason they're still on our shelf.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that we were in on Dinah's home and Claire has just arrived and she hasn't had sleep for 36 hours. And she's just worn out and she looks over at her bookshelf. And of course, what does she see? What does she see on that bookshelf?
She's also the book. Yeah. I mean, the books that Claire wrote before. Yeah. And she has all of them. Yeah.
And she takes down the first one. She takes one down, series, and she takes it down and she admits that she hasn't been back to reread that first, you know, that first book in a very, very long time. Right. And it's such a beautiful scene. She curls up. She can smell Odina's scent. The cat comes up next to her. She's beginning to kind of be able to unwind a little bit. And she goes into this mystery series, you know, with the main character, Nails, because her nails are so gorgeous. And she gets to kind of escape into her own book. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to really like this book I'm reading because I really love that scene.
Yeah, it's really, it's a story within a story within a story.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite parts of the book.
I'm so happy to hear that because I had to fight with my editor in the beginning because there were much more. There was much more of that. And maybe it's good that in the end it's not so much because it was saying otherwise it takes away too much of the story, you know, the plot and all of that.
Right.
But I got so much into that, you know, because I really like the personality of Nails and all of that. So now I'm really happy that I get to write about her, you know, again.
We're going to take another very short break and hear from another one of our sponsors, which is outwestshop.com. And when we come back, the conversation continues. We'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out outwestshop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. You confused me with those books. We're talking to Kathy Ramsberger and Gloria Mattioni. You know, Kathy, you might want to introduce, we're talking about the romantic, we're about ready to talk about the romantic elements of the books. And then we want to talk about the boyfriends of these two ladies.
Yeah.
Well, in the books. So since it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, I think it's good timing. And I think the puppy is showing love there too. So let's touch on the romantic elements of your work, Gloria, how the paths to love sort of converge and lead to a really surprise ending for me. It was a surprise for me. How can you talk a little bit about how the characters express and feel about all the forms of love? Be they romantic or familial or animal, in your novel, and if it relates to anything that that you wanted to tell in this book.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Claire, of course, we talk about, you know, she has, despite leaving her family behind physically, she's very connected still to her family. So both to her mother and their sister in a totally different way, of course, no, but she is. While instead, in terms of romantic love, she is a very independent woman, and she has, of course, her share of romances, but in the end, in the beginning of the book, she has this relationship with Javier that is, you know, they started on definitely an incredible strong attraction, but then they decided that romance was not for them. But still, they live together and they enjoy a great friendship, understanding, great sex life, you know, all of that, basically. Yeah, friends with benefits, right? But really, really good friends. In fact, Javier would be really present and helping also when Claire leaves everything behind, right? Leaves her home and all of that. And so it would be. But
it transforms her.
It transforms her, exactly. Like, and when she goes to Italy and she is with her sister for a long period of time, and of course, romantic love is the last thing she could think about, and we never see a hint of that, right? It just, but then, exactly, we have an epilogue, and this basically...
Don't tell us, but it's a surprise, everybody.
Just think it's years later, right? And so we see a transformation. And I think it's, I wanted that because I wanted this character so strong and so determined and so square about it, you know, her ideas about love and other things, to be open, completely open, you know, to whatever could happen in her life, you know. So it's the same thing as she's courageous, so she jumps into things if she feels that her heart is in that. So same thing, like she goes to her sister in Italy, dropping everything, and when she will feel that love knocks at the door, she would open the door. And that's a surprise because you don't expect it for her, right? From her, yeah.
Yeah, because she's kind of, in the beginning, she's kind of more the love and leave him type. You know, it's a fair, it's nice, as long as it's okay, and then we're going to move on. Now, yeah. her sister is different. Her sister is much more serious about this kind of thing, and she seems maybe to attract, maybe not quite the perfect guys.
Yeah, her sister is a very romantic person, and she's looking for love all the time. Yeah, Undina. Yeah,
yeah, Undina. Yeah. But yeah. She does recognize Claire. There's a wonderful statement that she makes about she recognizes Claire, and you know, she calls them roommates, and she doesn't really, you know. So they have a deep love for one another, but they also they get each
other. Yeah, they have this.
Kind they do. They do get each other. They do.
They your sisters.
But what about you, Katie? Because, I mean, I really enjoy following, in some way, very similar also that, you know, Diana in her relationship with Kazim, no? So what happened exactly? What did you put in the character? What did you want to, you know, what
Thank
did you
Thank you
want to
for know? Asking. So my personal opinion is that the desire for love never cancels out the desire for freedom.
Absolutely.
Maybe it does in some people, but it never has in me. I still long for my space.
Right.
And in both books, there's a constant tug between the two passions, because I think that it... my protagonist has many different passions, and it's really hard for her to choose, but choose she must, and that's it all comes down to choices. And my ending, I think it's a surprise. I hope it's a surprise.
It is.
I'm hoping I left the reader with the question, will Diana adapt to a new life with the person she loves most? Can she do that? Can she continue her job?
Yeah.
Will she be together with my other protagonist, Kasim, and remain as independent as she wants? And I've had my own long distance overseas relationships, and the first one did not work. This one has lasted nearly 40 years.
Wow.
And it's because of flexibility and compromise, lots of compromise. We took turns, and I think we were a little more mature too. So I tried to bestow that in Diana and Kasim as older adults, something they didn't have in the first.
I'm amazed at what time it is, ladies. We're going to take one more very short break. We're going to find out one of the places that you can get both of these books, as well as all of the featured guests on Rendezvous with a Writer. And that is our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we're going to find out what are they up to next and how do you follow them? We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. You know, it's been a great speaking with you ladies tonight. Now, where can we find you?
We'll start with Kathy.
So you can find anything just about on my website about me, Katherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Brown, like the color, Ramsberger with a P, not a B, .com. And you can find buttons to purchase the books there, but go to bookshop first. Go to Bobby Jean's and Jim's place, Rendezvous with the Writer first, and give them some love too. You can find me on most social media. I'm not on Blue Sky yet, but I might be going there at Kathy Ramsberger, and I'm on TikTok at Kathy Ramsberger 5. And I have Humanity's Greater Story, which some episodes are still Story Hour on YouTube. I'm gradually moving them. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can find me.
So wonderful to have you. So where you have to do this again, Kathy, already be thinking about who you'd like to bring on. In the fall, maybe. And cool. And Gloria, where can people get your book and find you, follow you, and what have you got coming up next, if anything?
Same thing. I mean, everybody can go on my website. That is just my name and my last name, GloriaMattioni.com. And over there, you can see everything, the description of my books and all of that. But in terms of buying them, definitely bookshop.org. By the way, my choice, even in bookstores, is independent bookstores. So I had my book launch at Diesel Bookstore in Los Angeles because I feel like we need to support them. I love bookstores. I love spending time there. So please go to that before going to Amazon or other things. No. And I can understand that sometimes you live in a place where you don't have a bookstore, an independent bookstore. So sure, Amazon or Barnes & Noble are other resources. But if you can, go to bookshop.org and that's your independent bookshop.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both so much for sharing that as authors. Yeah. We really appreciate it. We had such a good time tonight. Jim,
we had
a little quote.
We do have a quote.
We had so many great quotes, but he pulled this one.
Yeah. We always have to have a quote. This one kind of describes it, I think. And this is Odina. She's talking about Claire. She's describing Claire. She says, Claire is a riot. She can never be still. I'm surprised she could stand in Los Angeles for this long. But she explained it to me. I fit here just like everybody else. Nobody belongs in L.A. It's the perfect home for the homeless.
And I know, Gloria, you made comment about that very same quote earlier in the program. Well, thank you so much. We are delighted that you were with us tonight. This is episode 122. If you're looking for it on YouTube, on Podbean, on LA Talk Radio's website, you'll find it on all those places, especially Podbean shortly. I'll be putting it up there later. And next week, join us for another conversation with more than one author. We're delighted Richard Prosh is back, and he will be bringing three authors with him, and we will be talking about their stories from this wonderful anthology, Through Western Storms. And we'll be speaking with Scott McRae, Elizabeth Grace Foley, and returning author Denise F. McAllister. And it's going to be another really, really terrific show. So I guess we are just about out of time.
We are. We want to appreciate you being here again. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It's always fun with you guys.
And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing and we'll keep reading. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.